Welcome to Moving Out of Trauma.
If you have been listening to this podcast
to support trauma
and
survivors
feeling like there's a certain topic or a certain professional that you might want to hear from, I invite you to voice that opinion. I am now looking into the next season of our podcast and developing an outline as to what I feel might be beneficial.
Arizona, and I am
however,
so excited about today's
the
episode.
Best way for me to do that
before
is to
dive
know
into
truly what's beneficial from the people
trauma,
that are listening.
I want to give you a few reminders.
So I invite you to go to that
the
same page,
soulmission-emdrtherapy.com/podcast,
and there you will find a poll
started
that you can take to
trauma.
Provide that voice.
I want to offer you a
and
free
you will receive a thank you email as well as be entered into a drawing to win a $50 Visa gift card. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast and sharing your voice.
By heading over
I value all of your wisdom and all of your light.
/podcast. You can sign up for our newsletter there and you will get this free workbook directly to your inbox that you can download as many times as you like and get updates when I update it as well. Again, that link is soulmission-emdrtherapy.com/podcast. And a second reminder I want to give is at the end of this recording and the end of every episode for that matter, we will be giving you two resources that we often use in EMDR therapy, which are the container exercise as well as the state change place. So these exercises are visualization exercises that can help you transition from maybe a state of thinking about past trauma, awareness, learning something new into a more calm, more centered way of being so you can go on throughout your day. I hope these resources help and I would love to know your thoughts.
If you have been listening to this podcast and feeling like there is a certain topic or a certain professional that you might want to hear from, I invite you to voice that opinion. I am now looking into the next season of our podcast and developing an outline as to what I feel might be beneficial. However, the best way for me to do that is to know truly what's beneficial from the people that are listening. So I invite you to go to that same page, soulmission-emdrtherapy.com/podcast, and there you will find a poll that you can take to provide that voice. And you will receive a thank you email as well as be entered into a drawing to win a $50 Visa gift card. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast and sharing your voice. I value all of your wisdom and all of your light.
All right, let's dive into today's episode.
All right, so today I have Casey, a somatic breathwork practitioner. She is also an event facilitator and conscious entrepreneur. Casey has supported and worked alongside entrepreneurs and executives her entire life, and she knows firsthand the impact of anxiety, stress, and overwhelm that it has on humanity. So after immersing herself in the wellness space, she noticed that she was missing a piece to her own internal healing, which resided on a physiological somatic level. This is when she explored somatic breathwork. And this now guides people through transformational somatic breathwork practices, helping to promote self-awareness, emotional integration, stress and anxiety reduction, and overall well-being. And I am so excited to have Casey on the show today as we talk a little bit about emotions and just the trauma pieces that can often be so hard for so many people, and just to further get to know her and share her love and light and wisdom with the community. So welcome, Casey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So let's dive in. This beautiful quote that I found that I really love pairing with the show is, knowing a person is like music. So what attracts us to them is their melody. And as we get to know them, we learn their lyrics. And so from that, I really want to dive into what makes you as a professional and how you show up. And so my first question is, why are you so passionate about this work that you do?
What I love about somatic breathwork is that it is a felt experience. I feel like so often in the world, we are working on our mindset, which that's what really got me into my personal development, was working on my mindset, meditating, listening to Joe Dispenza podcast, doing all of the mindset things, which was so important. But when I had my first breathwork experience, I felt something. I felt energy in my body. I felt emotions in my body. And at the time in life where I found breathwork, I was at a place where I wasn't feeling much. I was recovering from a head injury, and I was experiencing really bad anxiety and panic attacks at the time. And I was desperate for relief. And so when I stepped into this breathwork practice, I actually felt again and felt what it felt like to be alive. And when I had felt sensation, I realized that there was something a little bit different between somatic practices and mindset work. They're both equally important, but they're different.
And as you were saying that, I almost felt like the mindset work can be like a great foundational resource and something, like you said, that kind of leads you into this deeper form of healing, but that the somatic pieces is really just about communicating with our body, which we often leave behind, like we often kind of forget about in our society, in our world. And to reconnect with that can be really rejuvenating and healing and have a really profound impact.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that. How does your personality show up in the room with clients?
I love this question because when I first started this practice, I think just when you start any practice, right? If you're a facilitator, or even if you're maybe a leader inside of a company, you almost feel this innate pull to be like everyone else almost. Oh, if my boss operates this way, like I should hold myself this way. And what I found in this work is that it's really beautiful to be your authentic self in this room, especially when you're leading a class that is promoting coming back home to yourself, which is your truest, most authentic self. And the best way that I can show anyone that is to be that. So I embrace all the sides of me inside of a session, which you saw firsthand, which is humorous, which is loud, which is bold, but then also serious and nurturing and loving throughout the session as well. But I feel like bringing all those parts of me is what really lights me up as a human when I can be of my fullest expression, which again, that's what we're promoting in these sessions, to be of your fullest expression. And there's a felt sensation if that is not happening. And so for me, like my first couple of sessions, I did try to attune to the way my mentors operate in the way that they held sessions. And very quickly, I realized that was not going to work long term. And I had to be myself. And ever since then, I felt so much better. The sessions became so much safer and more profound, so to speak. And it was just a really beautiful realization on my end as well.
I can't tell you how much I love that, because that is something I'm so passionate about, is that we have to be our authentic selves to really, I think, to model like that healing and that work, and to even just, I feel like, allow permission to for that other person to be themselves, right? Because a lot of the times I think we walk around with these masks that people like, oh, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? This kind of thing. But to really truly be our authentic selves mutually in something like that, I think is so healing, because you get to be with another human, be your authentic self while you're taking this journey together and really trying to navigate like what this looks like and how this can be a healing practice for that person. There's something like incredibly vulnerable about it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. What is the top thing you wish everyone knew about the world of somatic breathwork?
That it's not scary. A lot of people are really scared to have a session, which I understand, though there has been a lot of trauma and hurt in the world. All of us are walking around traumatized to some extent because all of us have been hurt to some extent. And that really is what trauma is, right? Mm-hmm. I think trauma gets a bad rap because it has to be, people think it has to be something absolutely horrible. But really, trauma is just something that happened too fast to your body and your body wasn't able to regulate. So we're all walking around hurt and semi-traumatized in a way. But truly, people do come to the sessions with severe trauma and they are nervous to go back in. And I wish people knew that it doesn't have to be scary. And oftentimes it's not scary. Oftentimes you don't even revisit the memories. You simply feel the emotions that were meant to be felt in at the time of the stressor, at the time of the trauma, which again, I understand that some people might not want to feel those feelings. I understand that. But time and time again, I hear that, yes, it was uncomfortable, but it was nothing I wouldn't do again. And so I do wish people understood and trusted their innate ability to heal and process, and that the body's never trying to hurt them and the body will never hurt you. It'll only give you what you're capable of handling in that moment. So if you can trust that, your session's going to be perfect just for you in that moment.
I really value that you said that, because I think that that readiness, that feeling of like biting off what we can chew kind of thing, if I were to put an analogy to it, that as long as we're listening and as long as we're being attuned to that, it's going to be okay, that we can navigate it and that we don't have to dive all into all of the things and just overwhelm our body and our nervous system, but that we can listen to ourselves and navigate it slowly and the way that we need to.
And the other piece of that is that you're in full control of your own session. Yes, the facilitator is guiding it, but really the only thing at play here is your breath. So if something becomes a little too uncomfortable, you are in control. You can slow down your breath and really, I don't want to say control the session, but modify it to what you feel most comfortable with. And most oftentimes what I see is that people don't modify it because they're going through it and they're like, I'm already in it. I'm almost at the end of it. Let's just keep going.
Get through this part. And there's a, I don't know, a saying or whatever that I use quite often with clients, and it's that I'm like a GPS and they're the ones in the driver's seat. And so I can offer suggestions or routes or whatever directions, but they're the ones that are deciding the speed limit and how fast we're going, if we take this route or this route. Is, and it feels like that's similar to the breathwork sessions, that like you still, you have this place where you can navigate the way you need to, and there's somebody there guiding you and helping you through it and providing you guidance. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
That's exactly it. It is a self-inquiry process. You have full self-sovereignty. You're not ingesting psychedelics or anything like that that truly have an agenda for you. Your breath, people are mind blown that they're just breathing. That's it. That's the only thing going on. And when you realize that it's really just yourself going through this process, I don't have an agenda for, no one has an agenda for you. And when you realize that it really is a self-sovereign practice, it feels a little bit safer.
I love that. All right. So it feels like we're already touching on this topic, but if we want to dive into this emotions piece of things moving through you, because I feel like that's what you were really touching on, is this stuff that we want to move through and wants to move through us, but that can oftentimes in life get stuck. When I say this all the time, but as trauma happens, it gets stuck in the body and it feels, we feel triggered and we have things come up throughout the day or throughout the week or the month, and we get thrown back and our nervous system can get thrown back to this initial experience of that trauma or that stressor. And so I would love to just talk with you more about what it looks like for emotions to move through a person as they're doing the breath work and as that healing practice is going.
Yes. So throughout a breathwork session, it is very common to feel all of the emotions. Sometimes you might laugh, you might cry, you might yell, you might make noises that you've never made before. And what's happening is that your body is finally completing a discharge pattern. So let's say you were at your office and you opened up an email from your boss and it was just like a cruel email, bashing a project or whatever, and you like froze at your computer and just felt like so sick to your stomach. And you're, okay, I'm gonna cry. Let's go to the bathroom. You go to the bathroom and you start to cry. Can you tell I know this story all too well?
And so you I go can to the tell.
Bathroom. Yeah, you go to the bathroom, you start to cry, and then somebody walks in and you wipe your tears. You're like, okay, this is not the time to cry.
Shove
you
it go down. Back out,
you shove it down. You put a smile on your face, you dry your eyes, and you're out. What happens in that moment is your body didn't have the appropriate time and process to process that emotion and what happened and move it through you and out. So when you felt that jolt in your stomach, when you read that email and you took that deep breath, that now gets stored as a trigger or even gets stored as a trauma unless we feel it and process it out. Now, I want the audience to think about this. How many moments in your life has something like that happened to you? It could have been every single day. We're just not mindful of it, right? You're at dinner with your spouse. Something happens. Can't cry in a restaurant. And then you shove it under the rug. You push it down. So with breath work, it allows us to go back to that moment. And again, we might not revisit the memory, but it allows us to go back to that moment and complete that discharge pattern that our body wanted to do, but we stopped it. So oftentimes people are laughing, crying, yelling, rolling around because there's so much energy and emotion that has been waiting to be released and discharged. Yeah. So it doesn't make sense to the thinking mind all the time, but that's okay. Again, this isn't about the analytical mind. This is about letting your body do what it feels called to do to release this energy that we've been holding on to for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to touch on that a little bit because I know, at least for me, going into that breathwork class for the first time, that I had an idea of what to expect because we had talked about it, obviously. But my analytical mind, I had to work to not turn it off, but to tune into other parts of myself. And so I would love to know from you what people find helpful in those moments to be able to, for lack of better terms, turn off their analytical cognition type mind and to have it be a safe container for them to express and to move through those emotions.
My biggest tip is to simply get curious about the experience and play with the invitations. Oftentimes I'm inviting people to do audible exhales, right? And then I'll guide you to bring it up a little bit. Lots of times people's analytical mind comes in and says, no, this feels weird. I'm not going to like yell with some random lady in this room with all these random people. And our mind is going to convince us to stay in our comfort zone because it feels weird. So the invitation and biggest tip is to simply play with it. This is 1 hour out of your entire life. You might not never see these people ever again. How uncomfortable can you get in this hour? Because once you start playing with the expressions, your mind turns off. Because what happens is, let's say we're doing an audible exhale and you're like, that feels good. I want to go a little bit louder. At that point, your body's starting to take over and your mind is starting to quiet down. And once you can drop that, you can just quiet that mind long enough for your body to start expressing, your mind really doesn't come back into play until the very end of the session where it's, wait, that was an hour? What just happened? So it's that little hump of, I know this is uncomfortable. I feel weird. This is odd. But if we can get over that hump, that's all you need, that little piece.
It's diving into the pool. It's getting fully in there and just going in. So that way you get used to the water versus not getting in at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one thing that I really loved that you, that I remember you had done that made me feel very comfortable was that you had us all like yell at the beginning of the session. And I was, and then I think you said something along the lines of, now you've all yelled all together, so you can go yell. No one in this room has not yelled. And it was a freeing statement.
Yes. And that's a big piece of it. During my first few group sessions, I was realizing that people were having struggling to express. Yeah. And so I'm like, what can I do to remove this roadblock? Yeah. And that's when I came up with the somatic warm-up. And quite honestly, not only does it make everyone comfortable, but somatically, it communicates to your body what it's capable of. Yeah. We're not used to yelling and flailing our arms around and doing things like that. And so our bodies, it has these urges in the session, but if it's never done that before, it might not know what that could look like.
Yeah.
So the somatic warm-up, when we're all yelling together and moving our bodies and doing things again together, because a lot of people don't want to be the first one to go, that gives us permission to be in our fullest expression, but it also communicates to your body, oh, I know how to yell. I just did this 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I love that. One, as you were sharing that and describing that, what came up for me, I'm not really sure why, but this image of, I have a toddler and my toddler flails about sometimes on the floor when he doesn't get what he wants. And just how through life, if we're told or taught or whatever to push all those things down, but sometimes that's exactly what we need to do, is to be able to get it out and to be able to move through that. Because so often the world tells us to shove it down and tells us to knock it off and wipe those tears away. You're not bleeding, or whatever the case is. And that we do, we need that, the out, but then we also need like the soothing and the nurturing and the acceptance, which I think is also something you beautifully provide in those, at least in the group session that I went to, that I really felt that sense of nurturance from you, and that just for the whole room, and how you were able to hold like a very safe container for people.
And that's a big piece of it too. A lot of times people come in for the release, like they want a clear release, which is wonderful. But that whole second half is repatterning and self-soothing and regulating the nervous system. Because again, if you do something too hard, too fast, and you don't regulate, that can be equally traumatizing. So the first half, we go in, we get in there, we clear things out. And then the second half, it is about filling you back up. So you leave full and you don't walk out into the world now filling things with thought patterns again, old habits. You're filled up now. Yeah. Because you were filling yourself up when you were tapped into that most authentic self.
The next piece that we really wanted to talk about is this, talking about this importance of community. And I feel like we tapped into that with that safe container that you provide. And at least when I was in that group session, I really felt like this sense of community, especially afterwards, as people were sharing and talking and connecting with one another. It did really feel like a sense of community. And something we've talked about many times on this show so far is that community is so important and it's so needed, but it's also really hard to navigate as an adult, where we don't just have communities that we are connected to all the time, every day, and really talking with people and spending time with people in the ways that we need to and want to. So I would love to talk about this topic of community with you and what this means for someone who is a trauma survivor and navigating that, and your thoughts on all those pieces.
Yeah, this is why I love group sessions, because I know myself, when I started stepping into this healing journey, I was doing everything alone because I like being alone. To be honest, I don't love
it's in that comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the time, I didn't love chatting with a bunch of strangers and doing things like that. So I just stayed in my house and I listened to the podcast and I did the meditations and I did all that. And then when I started going to breathwork sessions, when I started going to sound healing journeys, I started putting myself in environments with other people who were clearly interested in the things I was interested in. I started to meet a lot of wonderful people and made some incredible friends as well. And we are typically hurt by other people and hurt in community, which means we are healed with community as well. Yeah, it's...
That sentence just felt like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. And when I realized that I was probably just protecting myself and creating all these stories, and there are really great people out there. Most people are really incredible people. And here's the thing, when you start going to these types of experiences, whatever it might be, it doesn't have to be a breathwork session. It can be the park, it can be the gym, anywhere. You start to meet people, but don't let it end there. If you're vibing with someone, get their phone number and then go have a coffee date.
Yeah.
Something from there, it might go to nothing. Like you might realize, I don't actually vibe with this person, but I'm happy I did it. Or you might think, she's wonderful. She or he is wonderful. I do want to hang out with this person. And now you have a friend. But what I find is that in a lot of sessions, I always encourage afterwards people to hang out and chat for a little bit because most people just book it. They want to get back into their comfort zone. And the most important thing you can do with any type of growth modality in your life is how do you apply it when the session is
over? Preach that.
And so it's, can I use this experience to its fullest? Can I come in here and introduce myself to the person lying on the mat next to me? Okay, great. We had our session. Can I follow up afterwards and say, hey, how was your session? Can I tell you about mine? Use these type of events and sessions and experiences to their fullest capacity because that's how you start building relationships and forming community. And community is just so important for anyone. And of course, trauma survivors as well, because lots of times we feel that we're the only ones that have been through something like this, or a lot of people carry shame around and they think that it's this tangible thing people can see, so they don't want to hang out with me. And there's just so many stories, and that's just a story.
Yeah.
It's just a story. And so when you have those positive experiences with people, those stories start to minimize, and that safety of connection, repatterning healthy platonic touch and connection is so healing.
Yeah. I really like that you hit on the repatterning piece, because I feel like so many trauma survivors, people, humanity, right? As we go through things, we have a hard time trusting ourselves, not because we're faulty, but because that thing that happened to us is telling us that we're faulty. And one of the things that you said of, if you're vibing with a person and you feel good, ask them for your phone number or for their phone number, and maybe go out on a coffee date. And then if you find out like, oh, hey, I actually don't vibe with you, and that's okay. But that's learning and like recognizing, what does it look like? What does this feel like when I feel comfortable with another human being? And what does it look like when maybe I don't really quite line up with this person? And how do I navigate that for myself? How do I have a boundary and say, oh, hey, like, it was really nice hanging out. Bye. Whatever that looks
like. Never.
See you never. Just to be able to do that can be really empowering for someone that, for a lot of their life, I find a lot of people just do whatever it is that the other person wants to, because that's what they're used to doing. And to be able to say, oh, hey, actually, for me, this wasn't what I needed, or this wasn't what I was thinking, or whatever. But that's repatterning the brain to learn to trust yourself and learn to navigate that in a really authentic human way. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that piece?
And trusting other humans.
Yes.
That's, yes, forming that trust with ourselves is incredibly important. We, the more we trust ourselves, the better decisions we make, the more aligned decisions we make. But can you trust another human? Even if you didn't vibe with that person,
yeah,
it's still an experience of, there is nothing wrong with them. I just don't think that our values or like we enjoy the same things.
That we line up.
But this person was a beautiful human and it was a safe experience. And look what I can do. I can initiate conversation. I can initiate connection. And that is a win within itself. Yeah. There's so many layers to every part of life. I always say it's so much more than a breathwork session. It is, can you try something new? Can you use your voice in the sharing circle? Can you decline using your voice? If you're the one who's always trying to fill the blank space, can you sit back and actually not be that person? There's so many layers to uncover. And that's what I found with myself too when I started doing this stuff. It's not even the breathwork session was amazing, the sound healing was amazing, but it was all these other layers. Another thing, can someone show up and just show up in their comfy clothes with no makeup on? Maybe they're used to being done up all the time. And it's like that for them, like exposing that piece of them would be a huge step. And for other people, that's like no biggie. But for them, it's this is huge. Yeah. I'm going to try something new here. Mm-hmm. Can I make connections with people not based off of my love, but based off of my heart? There's just so many layers to everything we do in life. This is how my brain operates. And it's just, it's more than what we've signed up for. And it's those little subtleties and those little awarenesses that really is what shifts and impacts your life.
Yes. Yes, I 100% agree with you. I talk about this a lot with clients, but our hour a week together or hour together a week is only so much. And it's what you do with the information and with the transformation and with those different pieces as you move out of the session and into your life and community and forming those relations and using those skills. And there's just so much healing to be had, I think, outside of the session or the practice, but we have to do it. We have to dive in and we have to notice the opportunities and the healing places that we can lean into is what I want to share is the feeling that we can lean into a healing space, even if it's uncomfortable. Oh, okay. And the third and final topic that we were going to touch on today was intentional resilience training. And so I want to ask you real briefly if you can just describe that maybe to our listeners as what this is and maybe a little bit about how it might work.
Yeah. So resilience training is something that I have really tapped into recently. And what it is, it's intentionally stressing your body. Stressing your nervous system to a point that's safe so that your body now has more capacity to regulate when a real life stressor comes up. So I'll give you an example. I have been obsessed with the cold plunge lately. And the cold plunge for me, it intentionally, you're self-inducing an anxiety attack is what you're doing because you go into the cold plunge and you start freaking out. And for someone who I have experienced anxiety and panic attacks, like I shared earlier, as someone who has experienced that, I didn't know how to regulate out in my life. And so going into the cold plunge by self-inducing that and training my breath and stressing my nervous system in an intentional way where I know nothing bad is going to happen, I can now regulate and learn to use my breath and regulate my nervous system. So if an anxiety attack were to happen outside of the cold plunge, I'm like, I've been here before. I do this every single day in the cold plunge. My body knows how to regulate that stress. And that's with anything. If a stressful situation comes up, if I get triggered by something or something's starting to bubble up through me, my body has this new capacity. We all are operating within a bandwidth, if you can think about it. And when we hit our threshold, that's when we get triggered or that's when we hit a nervous breakdown or whatever that looks like for you. But when you can expand that baseline through resilience training, we now have more capacity. So things don't bother us as much. Things that stressed us out aren't so bad anymore because we're training our nervous system to hold more.
Yeah. To hold more space and repatterning the brain and our neural pathways and how we can handle those things. It's not just something that's overwhelming us. It's something that, oh, okay, I can navigate this. I have a method for this or a skill that I can use in this area. It doesn't just have to be like, oh, this is a thing that's happening and it's overwhelming our nervous system and our brain. It sounds
like. That's exactly it. And I feel like for many people, myself included, before I started all of this is we're operating on default mode. We're triggered. Yeah. We're traumatized. We're lashing out at people. Mm-hmm. We are not operating from a good place. Mm-hmm. We are operating from being stressed out, being scared. And it wasn't a way to live for me. Yeah. And so all the things that I do, breath work and cold plunging and mindfulness and all this stuff, it sounds like mm-hmm. a lot. And it is a lot. But I would rather do that and live a joyful, peaceful, regulated life than be walking around unintentionally hurting people, which then hurts myself.
Yeah.
And so all this stuff is the things that I'm sharing has truly changed my life. And it takes time.
Yeah.
You can't jump in a cold plunge once. You can't do one breath work session.
And expect the life to be changed.
Yeah, you can't. It's a practice. And there's lots of ways you can do all this stuff. It doesn't have to be a cold plunge. It can be a cold shower. It can be running on the treadmill. It could be anything. Yeah. But find something that works for you, that helps you regulate, that helps you stay grounded and present and peaceful. And that's when your life starts to shift.
Yes. Yes. It's all about the practice. It's the long term rather than this short term of make it all better, make it go away. It's figuring out how to navigate our lives in a different capacity.
Yeah.
I wanted to take a quick pause to share with you a few resources. So if you are looking for ways to find more grounding and more mindfulness in your daily life and with real actionable steps, I've developed a workbook that will walk you through developing this skill. It comes from a trauma-informed lens. So if you've tried mindfulness before and you felt like it was more triggering than useful, you could have been actively dealing with a trauma response. So this workbook is designed for trauma survivors. And more than that, it gives you actionable steps and it's packed with information. So whether your schedule looks like a stay-at-home caregiver, whether you're someone who works a 9-to-5 or something else entirely, there's something in this workbook for you. So you can head over to soulmission-emdrtherapy.com/podcast. You can subscribe for our newsletter where you'll get reminders once a month about new content and an email with that free workbook. Again, that link is soulmission-emdrtherapy.com/podcast, and you can find that link in the show notes. If you are enjoying this episode, and I truly hope that you are, if you think that it might be useful for someone else, please consider leaving us a review on your favorite podcast platform or on podchaser.com, because that is the best way to get the word out about this podcast. And lastly, if you'd like to work with me and you live in either Arizona or Florida, I now have openings for EMDR intensive sessions. These are sessions that are longer than your standard 50-minute therapy session and can really help you reach a place of grounding and healing from past trauma quicker than the standard talk therapy session once per week. So if you'd like to find out more about this, I invite you to set up a free 15-minute consultation where we can chat about if this type of work is right for you. It is also a great accompaniment for if you are already working with a therapist and you're having a hard time breaking through some kind of block or trauma response or trauma trigger. You can go to soulmission-emdrtherapy.com/contact, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's get back to today's episode.
Awesome. All right, so we are back with our final sections of the show. And this section of the show is called Providers Aren't Robots. And so in this small section of the show, we talk about an example of our humanness. I don't know about you, but sometimes when people first encounter me or meet me, it's like they think I live in a little perfect bubble because they're only seeing me in this one frame of life. And so this is really just to hone in on the fact that we are human. We are not robots and we navigate the world just like everyone else. With that, I just want to ask if there is any example, Casey, that you can think of, be it recent or whatever, across your life, but just something that exemplifies that humanness for you and how you show up as a human.
Absolutely. Something that we talk a lot about in breath work is how it lowers your triggers, right? Mm-hmm. Like it helps you be more mindful and become more responsive versus reactive. I'm still triggered all the time. Yeah. If I'm being fully transparent, I still get triggered quite often, but it's less. And sometimes I do still snap or say something I wouldn't have wanted to say to my partner, for example. I'm like, I told you this. I get reactive.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. They're never going to fully go away. Mm-hmm. They lessen and you have a little bit more wiggle room. Yeah. Me being fully transparent, that stuff happens all of the time. Yeah. And what happens all the time is that I realize that things that once bothered me really don't anymore. And I'm like, that's a win. It's such a beautiful dance of, okay, I still have work to do in this area. And then, wow, like I really have made some significant shifts in those areas. And that's beautiful too.
That is beautiful. And I love that you are transparent in saying that because I think you're absolutely right. No matter how much work we do, there's still going to be stuff because we're human, right? We're not perfect. We're not robots. No one is. And being able to show up in that capacity and to know there are places where I have made extremely gross and changes and shifts for myself. And sometimes things still happen and normalizing that, because I think so often people think, oh, like I went through therapy or I did breath work or I did this and I should be fine now. And that's just not really how life works.
No.
Yeah. Okay. And then the next piece is a trauma tip. So one of the pieces that I'm really passionate about this show is that everyone walks away with some kind of tangible things that they can do today for their life. And what do you feel is an important trauma tip that you wish everyone on this earth would know to be able to regulate, to be able to tune into themselves, however it shows up for you, but really just that would be helpful for someone walking around with trauma and with hurt?
Yeah. If you were to take one thing from this, it would be to notice the sensations in your body before your mind starts to take over and create story.
Yes.
So an example of that is, let's say you're driving somewhere, you're going to meet your in-laws or something. Mm. How are you feeling in your body? Mm. Are you getting anxious and you feel like there's that pit in your stomach? Are you feeling excited? Are you feeling nothing? That's okay too. But the body is always signaling to us first before we erupt.
Yeah.
The good and the bad.
Yep.
And absolutely. So listen to those subtleties and just be mindful of, going back to that work example, like for a long time after that job, I opening my email, my work email was like, I am cringing because I don't know what I'm going to see here. Sure. And that was something that I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling this in my body first. Like I'm actually contracting. And so notice the sensations that you feel around different people, different environments, different things. And those will be your signals on what feels safe and what feels unsafe that might need a little bit more work, so to speak.
I can't tell you how much I love that. That's beautiful. All right. So the final fast and sometimes funny questions as just a nice way to wrap up the show and again, hone in on our humanness. So my first question to you is, if you could visit any place on earth, where would it be?
Oh my gosh. Bali.
Oh, Bali, yes.
For sure. It's just somewhere that I see that always looks beautiful. And the thing keeping me is the distance.
Yeah. It is pretty far.
Yeah, but it would be Bali.
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Should pineapple be on pizza?
No, although I love pineapple, but I just don't think it belongs on pizza.
Fair. Absolutely fair. What makes you feel inspired or motivated to continue to do this work that you love?
Honestly, truthfully, it's every time I experience a session, I'm personally reminded, me going through a session, how powerful this work is, because I can see everyone else, their transformation and their expressions and what they're going through. But again, it's a felt sensation. So whenever I am taken through a session, I'm like, ugh, everyone needs this.
Yes. Love it. What is one thing that people are generally surprised to find out about you?
That I love being alone. I love being alone. I can be in my house for a week straight and not leave. And I'm fine with it.
I love that. And what does a simple moment of pure joy look like for you?
Sitting outside with my honey lavender matcha from Provision. It's so good. And just literally sitting outside with the crisp air and the sunshine.
Ah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Casey, for coming on today and again sharing your wisdom and your love and your light with us. It has certainly been a wonderful talk and I've really enjoyed it. And just thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me today on Moving Out of Trauma. If you'd like today's episode and you think it might be useful for someone else, please consider leaving us a review on your favorite podcast platform or on podchaser.com. And if you have any questions at all, I would absolutely love to hear from you. You can find me over on Instagram at soulmission_EMDR therapy or on Facebook at soulmission_EMDR therapy. If you'd like, please stay tuned for the visualization exercises coming up next to transition to the next part of your day. And remember, you did not choose trauma, and you can choose your path towards healing. This is Moving Out of Trauma.
So I just want to invite you to find a comfortable position and to make sure that you're doing this exercise somewhere safe, somewhere where you feel that you can take a few moments for yourself, and definitely not while you're driving. So we're going to start with the container activity and then move into the calm, seat place. So it's good to have a secure place where you can store memories and issues and things that may need still some work, but also maybe you don't need to focus on them right at this point. So if you think about it almost like cleaning up the files on your desktop computer, so you can just feel a little bit less overwhelmed and focus a little bit more efficiently. The files are in a safe place. You can access them the next time that you need to. So to start creating this container, I'd like you to imagine some kind of container or storage system that can securely hold as much as you need it to for as long as you need it to until you're ready to work on it again. So this container can be something you imagine. It could be something that's real. We just want to make sure that this container has a lid or some type of secure closure. So that way there's a way to take things out only when you want to. Now it's important to note, we don't want to put people in containers, but we can put memories and feelings and any kind of situations. So take a moment and really think about what that container might look like. Notice how the container feels. Notice how it feels that it's there for you, should you choose to use it, or when you choose to use it. And now, if you need to use that container, I want you to picture allowing whatever needs to go in there to take its place in there. This can happen slowly. This can happen quickly. However it needs to happen, it's okay. Just allow the pieces, the memories, the thoughts, the feelings, the situation, whatever it is, to just slowly take its place into that container. Now, once you feel like the things that need to be in the container are in there, I want you to close that container. Some people like to imagine that there's a lock there or some kind of secured closure beyond just a lid. So if you like, you can go ahead and lock that. And then just imagine it kind of taking its place back into wherever it needs to be. So this could be a place that you think of in your home. This could be an imaginary place, wherever it is. Just some place that we know that it's there when we need it. And now we're going to transition to that calm state change place. So this is a really good activity to develop a couple of ways to feel more calm and secure without really needing to rely on something or someone external than us. So one way we can do this to create this type of place that you can visit internally whenever you want, kind of like having an instant mini vacation on demand. So see if you can think of a place where you might feel a sense of calm or a sense of well-being. You can imagine a place that's similar to one that you've experienced or heard about or read about. It's best not to use a specific memory with people, though, from your own history. So some people like to think of the beach or the woods, mountains, maybe someplace they feel cozy. So just notice this place. Notice what you hear. Notice what you smell. Look around. What do you see? What do you feel? Maybe either the temperature, the time of day, even down to how you feel in your body as you imagine yourself in this place. Really just allowing yourself to soak up every single positive part of this place. The way it looks, the things that you hear, the things that you smell, the things that you might be able to touch, any textures or temperatures, and really encapsulating what you feel in your body as you're in this place, as long as it feels good and calm and a place of centeredness. Now, knowing that this place is always available to you because it is within you, it's a place of your very own making, a place that you can return anytime you need, whether it's for quick deep breaths, returning to center, or maybe even winding down for the evening. This place is always here for you. This recording is going to finish, but if you'd like to stay in this place a while longer, you're certainly more than welcome to do so. And I hope that you'll join me next time on Moving Out of Trauma.